Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to the Toe Meets Leather podcast. I'm Logan, and I'm here today with a man who is often known to be hit on by bears, not large gay men, like actual bears. Andrew, how are you doing today, Andrew?
You know, people keep telling me that I ask for it because I walk around the woods with pots of honey, but I like to believe that's just victim blaming.
That's profiling. Just because I like honey, I gotta be the victim here.
Yeah, I mean, just because I love to eat honey out of the jar means that I deserve to get attacked by bears.
This is clearly a legitimate issue. I'm sure Nigel would like to have this more detailed discussion about this.
You know, the thing about Nigel is I think Nigel's bears are a little different than the bears that are attacking me.
That's probably true. Anyway, Nigel could not actually join us today, and neither could Tommy. Nigel at least sent us his picks. Tommy, unfortunately, did not, which is a shame, because you and Tommy have been on a roll as of late. I think you're in the 66th percentile, while Tommy's about at 70% with his pick. So both of y'all doing very well. I'm doing abysmal. Meanwhile,
Fuck you, West Virginia.
I get so upset about West Virginia. Nigel is slightly better than a coin flip, and I am slightly worse, so we're not doing as hot. I'm hoping I can pick up. I'm beginning to do a little better this week. But talking about the games. So we don't have a lot of big impact games this week in terms of the playoff itself, but there are some interesting ones in terms of conference positioning, except in the SEC, of course, where it's going to be Bama and whoever comes out of the East. But, you know, so we do have some matchups that are interesting regardless. So, to kick off, God, why did I pick this game to kick off? I guess because I'm hoping Arkansas beats Auburn. We've got Arkansas going on the road to Auburn. Like you were so courteous to point out, Auburn has, in the earlier podcast, Auburn has been better than we expected them to be. I think that's because the defense is more talented. I haven't really seen much out of their offense, but their defensive play has been very good. And Arkansas has come out and surprised everybody. The only two teams they've lost to are the top teams in the SEC right now, Texas A&M and Alabama. So this is a kind of prove-yourself game for Arkansas. Meanwhile, this is a impact game for Auburn in the sense that they want to kind of come out and finish off the rest of their schedule because it doesn't get any easier from here. So, Andrew, who do you have in this matchup?
Well, even though he cheats in wrestling matches, I'm going to have to side with Bert Bielema and Arkansas. Auburn, looking at their schedule, really hasn't beaten anyone. They beat an LSU team that's not the LSU team we're used to. I don't understand how the Football Power Index is giving Auburn a 84.7% chance to win this game, as well as they're a 10-point favorite. I get being at home, but Auburn even offense just hasn't really impressed me against good teams, and Arkansas has shown themselves to be a good team. You know, I think the big question is going to be, can that Arkansas offensive line protect Austin Allen and allow him to make some plays and throw the ball downfield when Arkansas wants to throw the ball? You know, Auburn's been better on defense than we expected, but really the only high-powered offenses they've faced are Clemson, who they lost to, and Texas A&M, who they also lost to. So I really think that this is a chance for Arkansas to go into Auburn and beat this Auburn team and really help to drive this to be one of the better seasons of Bielema's tenure at Arkansas.
So, Nigel picked Arkansas. This is not a hard pick for me because I was going to pick Arkansas anyway just because I can't stand Auburn. It is a weird situation for me because I feel like this is one of those where we have picked against Arkansas. It feels like pretty much every week we have underestimated them. And now all of a sudden we're all jumping on the Arkansas bandwagon, except maybe Tommy. If he didn't, I don't know. So it's like suddenly – it's one of those where it's like this sudden tone shift, I don't know if this is going to end well. I feel like now that we're jumping onto Arkansas, it might throw things off in terms of whatever the Fates had planned. But, yeah, I mean, if I'm going off the talent level, I certainly got to believe Arkansas is going to win this game. I really don't think Auburn is nearly as talented as the FBI is giving them credit for. So, yeah, I'm going to pick Arkansas as well. And Brett Bielema's fat, oiled gut will slip by and move on to fight another day. Next up, out in the Big 12, the matchup you actually talked about as well, TCU at West Virginia. So TCU is one of those teams that should have been good, and West Virginia is one of those teams that should not have been good. And, hey, look at that. West Virginia is undefeated. They're looking to make a statement. They need to beat TCU to continue to stand to be a potential front runner in the Big 12. And TCU, on the other hand, it's looking like they might need to win this game to start competing for good bowl position. Like, this is not a good season for TCU. Andrew, I'm throwing it to you because you're the only person I can throw it to. Who do you have in this matchup?
You know what? West Virginia's put together a good undefeated season. They really haven't run into the bulk of their Big 12 season yet. Their opponents aren't great. You know, Texas Tech might be one of their better wins. You know, TCU's got a loss to Arkansas and a loss to Oklahoma, who, you know, we've always underestimated Arkansas, and Oklahoma's a good team. You know, I think this is a statement game for Dana Holgorsen and the Mountaineers, and I think they do enough to win it. Kenny Hill's kind of shown a propensity to turn the ball over, and I think that's going to be interesting because West Virginia's played fairly good on defense, at least getting the stops they need to win the game, and I think that might be the difference, is if West Virginia can push Kenny Hill into making some mistakes and turning the ball over, I think they've got a chance to win it.
All right. Nigel is also taking West Virginia. I'm looking at this. This is an interesting one for me because it's kind of going to come down to whether or not West Virginia's defense can stick up against the TCU offense. And TCU offense, frankly, has not been great this year. I don't have the stats right in front of me. I just know that they've been kind of underwhelming when it comes to things. Right now, I think the FPI on the game is giving them, gosh, a 66.5% chance of beating TCU. West Virginia's got, so this is another one of those where I'm kind of like, is destiny telling me something? Gosh, the stats are very similar. Both these teams are very similar. The key difference is TCU gives up a lot more points per game, and West Virginia doesn't get as many points per game. So, yeah, this looks very similar to the Texas Tech game last week. West Virginia won that one. They're at home this week. I'll go with West Virginia. I'm really scared, man. I'm picking against the trends we've set up for ourselves. This is not good. Speaking of trends we've set up for ourselves, next up we've got Wisconsin going on the road to Iowa. So despite the hot start, Wisconsin is now lost two games in conference, playing against Ohio State and Michigan. They need to win their next three games if they're really going to compete in their division. They've starting off against Iowa, and if they can beat Iowa, they're only one and Iowa itself is only one conference win down on Nebraska, rather. So Iowa's also competing out there, despite their early struggles. Now, really, I think their ranking has suffered because of the loss to North Dakota State, and I guess Northwestern. But other than that, I think they played pretty well. So this is going to be an interesting matchup, but it's going to be a prove-me game for Wisconsin again, as if they haven't proven themselves enough already. Andrew, who do you have?
You know, it's a prove-me game because they've lost the two previous prove-me games. Yes, they acquitted themselves well, and yes, they played close to really talented teams, but they still lost the games. You know, and I think this is Wisconsin's big chance to step in and say, those were close losses, but we're a good team that's in the West and still a team that's going to have a fight for the West with Nebraska. You know, the Wisconsin offense really impressed me against a talented Ohio State defense. And I think that's the thing is, I think Wisconsin's going to be able to go into Iowa City and win the game. I think they've been much better on defense than I expected them to be, much better on offense than I've expected them to be. You know, Alex Holderbrook has really stepped in and been a serviceable quarterback for Wisconsin, which when looking back at Wisconsin quarterbacks outside of Russell Wilson is really all they ask for, is a good game manager who can run the ball and make the throws he needs to make and play good defense. And this year's Iowa is not last year's Iowa. You know, I think Wisconsin goes in. I think it's going to be a hard-fought, low-scoring, Big Ten-style game. But I think Wisconsin's going to be able to make enough plays on offense to win the game.
Nigel also has Wisconsin. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Northwestern, when they beat Iowa at home, right?
Let me check that real quick.
I guess my basic point...
That game was played in Iowa.
Yes. So my basic point is Northwestern was able to beat Iowa at home. Wisconsin is definitely a better team than Northwestern. Wisconsin should win this game. And I don't know that it'll be close, but I'm just going to pick them to win. All right. So we've agreed on all our picks so far. Next up, Ole Miss at LSU. So... I think everybody's pretty well impressed with Ole Miss after how well they played against Alabama, but then they went out and lost to Arkansas. They're pretty well out of the SEC West race. LSU, oddly enough, despite the loss to Auburn, still has an outside shot of winning the SEC West, but they would need to win this game and obviously the rest of their games. So this is kind of a big deal for LSU, and they do get the game at home. It's time to see what LSU is made of now that they're back to playing in the SEC, a serious opponent. So, Andrew, who do you have, Ole Miss or LSU?
You know, LSU is an interesting team because the defense has still played really well. Their losses have been relatively close losses. And LSU, you know, with Dave Aranda still staying on as defensive coordinator after Les Miles got let go, I think it's going to help him. I think that's going to be the really big showdown in this game is Ole Miss's high-powered offense against that really talented LSU defense. You know, LSU's offense came alive against Missouri, which was interesting to see given that Missouri was a team that we really thought would have a pretty good defense. You know, this game's at night in Death Valley. You know, I think LSU wins it. I think that, you know, they kind of make a statement of, you know, we're still a good team, even though we've let Les Miles go. And it's really going to create a weird atmosphere for them looking at hiring another coach if they keep winning and end up putting together, you know, a nine-win season, even though they fired Les Miles. It's going to create some weird atmospheres trying to hire a new coach. I also think that Danny Etling has been quite a revelation for them at quarterback, the Purdue transfer.
Which, again, I don't know where all these quarterbacks from Purdue come from or why they start there. But, hey, you know.
I mean, it's what happens when you finally take a guy and give him some talent around him that he didn't necessarily have at Purdue.
Yeah. Nigel's taking Ole Miss, which is surprising because he took Ole Miss last week against Arkansas, and we saw how that turned out. But he's got faith, or he just doesn't have faith in LSU, one or the other. I am going to take LSU. And this is mainly because this is a night game, like you said, at home. And it's just really hard to play against LSU in that kind of environment. We saw Ole Miss struggle on the road against Arkansas, and we've seen them kind of fall apart in a lot of big games in general. This is a statement game for LSU that despite all their struggles, that they are still a big team in the West, for all that matters, being a big team underneath Alabama's shadow. So I think they're going to come out, and I think they're going to prove themselves. I think they're going to win this matchup. All right. Next up. So we've got the two undefeateds. We're going to deal with both of them at the same time. The two undefeateds that are outside the Power Five. BYU is going on the road to Boise State, and Eastern Michigan is going on the road to Western Michigan. So I don't know. Obviously, we've gotten more info on BYU and Boise State. I don't know as much about Eastern Michigan. You've seen Western Michigan at least for a couple of games. I guess the bottom line is, can our dark horses stay undefeated at the moment with these opponents they're going to be facing up against? They do have the advantage. They are at home. So, Andrew, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, I definitely think both of them can. You know, Boise State has really been a good team. I think Brett Rippon, the quarterback of Boise State, is the quarterback that no one's really talking about. He's put together a really good season. He's only thrown three interceptions. You know, they've got some talent around him. And I really think that Brian Harsin is going to be a name on a lot of AD's minds when they start looking at hiring coaches next year. He's really kept that Boise State program rolling. He's got the talent he's had. And like I said, I think a kid that no one's really talking about is Brett Rippon, the quarterback at Boise State. I think he's a guy who puts up great numbers, takes care of the ball. And he's a true sophomore, so he's got another year at Boise. But I think come, you know, the 28, I think he's a name that's going to be on a lot of GM's mind as a kid worth taking. Because he's, like I said, he's definitely shown that he takes care of the ball, he makes the throws, he does what he needs to do. Now, the Eastern Michigan, Western Michigan, Eastern Michigan's really been one of the surprise teams of the season. You know, they've been pretty bad for a couple of years. You know, we had the pregame ceremony where they tried to take the sledgehammer and bust through the center block wall, and it didn't work. And so everyone made fun of them. You know, everyone laughed at them. But Eastern's really kind of, you know, they've won some games. You know, they beat a decent Wyoming team. They beat a decent Bowling Green. Yeah, they unfortunately knocked off your beloved Ohio Buckeyes.
Ohio Bobcats. We don't talk about that.
Bobcats. You know, I mean, it's been a rough season for your Bobcats, Logan, and I'm sorry to keep bringing that up. But, you know, I think Eastern Michigan's been a surprise team. Unfortunately, Eastern is a team on a mission. I think PJ Fleck has got to be the top name for that Purdue job. I don't know if he takes it, but I mean, he's done such a fantastic job recruiting at Western. You know, Zach Terrell still hasn't thrown an interception this year. I believe he's the only quarterback in college football who has not thrown an interception yet. And like you said, they lost their first turnover last week against Akron. They've got a great two-headed monster running back in Jamari Bogan and Jarvion Franklin. And I just think, I think Western's a team on a mission to run utter roughshod over the MAC and be undefeated at the end of the year.
Yeah, so first off, it's the Ohio Bobcats, excuse me. Second off, yeah, I agree with, by the way, Nigel says that both those teams are going to win the Dark Horses. I think if you had to pick a team to lose this week, it would probably be Western Michigan. If you had to pick a team to lose down the line for the rest of the season, it would probably be Boise, because they do have some slightly tougher opponents eventually. But I don't think either of these teams are going to lose this week, at least. Western Michigan is too good right now, and I just think Boise State at home is a team that you don't want to play, regardless of who you are, as odd as it sounds. So yeah, I'm going to pick all those. I'm going to pick both those teams. We're in agreement. And next up, I thought this was the personal picks, but apparently we've got one more. We got one more that I forgot about. NC State. A lot of teams have forgotten about NC State. They're going on the road to Louisville. So both of those teams were on the opposite side of potential upsets last week, where NC State almost pulled one against Clemson and Louisville almost suffered one against Duke. So are we looking at another potential upset coming in this week? Andrew, what are your thoughts?
I don't think Louisville loses. I think they're just too talented, and I think Lamar Jackson is just too much Lamar Jackson. But I do think, I mean, it's a 21-point spread right now. I think State covers the spread. I think State's kind of an underrated team that we've seen this year. They're really good on defense, and they play a little bit better on offense. But I don't think they win, but I do think they cover the spread. I also think that there's a distinct possibility that if Lamar Jackson gets, you know, he throws for 194 yards and he were 164 yards, he will break 2,000 yards passing and 1,000 yards rushing with five games to play.
Damn. It's funny.
I don't think he breaks the rushing yardage this week. I think he might do it next week. But, I mean, this guy's putting together just, I don't know if it's a season we've ever seen before.
Well, I mean, we knew this guy had the offensive output of more than most of the teams in the nation, but we'll see. Like you said, like you pointed out earlier, NC State's defense is very good. I'm just going to pick Louisville to flat out win. Nigel's picking Louisville to flat out win. I think if Tommy was here, he would pick Louisville to flat out win, but he's not. So there we go.
Yeah, I mean, I think Louisville wins, but I think NC State covers the spread.
Fair enough. I will hold you to that. All right, next up. Now we're on the personal picks. Andrew, do you want to go ahead and take the reins?
No. Up.
Say again.
I said you can go ahead. I'll follow you.
All right. So my game, I'm going to be picking Miami at Virginia Tech, which is an interesting game to me for a couple of reasons. First off, Las Vegas and the FPI do not seem to agree, and I don't know how often that occurs, but it seems pretty unusual because I thought Las Vegas based their betting opportunities off of what the FPI puts out there. Anyway, right now Vegas is giving Virginia Tech a 6-point spread, but the FPI has it with Miami at a 58.2% chance of winning the matchup. Now, Virginia Tech gets Miami at home. And both these teams are very similar stat-wise. Oddly enough, they both put up, 420 total yards. They're within a yard of each other. And then they both have within 2 yards passing and rushing of each other. In fact, their rushing yards is down to like a decimal point. Yards allowed, Virginia Tech is slightly better. They only give up 20 less yards per game. But points per game, they're both at 36.7, 35.7. For me, though, I think I'm going to give this to Virginia Tech, and there's one reason. There's a stat that the numbers are not putting up. Virginia Tech has not lost this year at any football stadiums that were not inside of a dome. They have not lost at any football stadiums that were in the open air. Keep in mind, they have lost to Tennessee. That was at a racetrack. And they lost to Syracuse, which was inside of a dome. So Virginia Tech is undefeated. I think they're going to keep that record going. And they're going to beat Miami this week. All right. So Nigel and Tommy didn't send me any picks, personal picks. So, Andrew, you're up.
So my personal pick this week is the Washington State Cougars at the Arizona State Sun Devils. This game's got a fun bit of a background because last year, in a match, a tirade accusing Todd Graham and the Arizona State team of stealing signals, which stealing signals is just a part of college football. Every team in the country tries to steal signals. Every team in the country tries to defend them. If you watch games and you see the guys on the sidelines with the whiteboards or the pieces of paper or the towels or anything holding them up behind the coaches, a lot of that's designed to try to shield those coaches from the coaches' boxes and from teams stealing signals. So there's that undercurrent to this game. I think that Washington State wins this game, and I think it really kind of sets them up going into the remainder of their schedule. They've already beat Oregon. They've already beat Stanford. And they've already beat UCLA. You know, the rest of their schedule is really manageable. They get a resurgent Colorado team late in the year, and then they get the Apple Cup at home against the Huskies. There's a really strong chance that we go into the Apple Cup and it decides the Pac-12 North, where you have an undefeated in conference Washington State playing an undefeated Washington Huskies for the Pac-12 North.
Now, I wouldn't get too far ahead of ourselves because there's still a lot of games between here and there, but it is a distinct possibility. Yeah. So
I mean, you really have to think of it. If Washington State can knock off Arizona State, they're going to be the favorite against Oregon State. They're going to be the favorite against Arizona, and they're going to be the favorite against Cal. Colorado, who is a lot better this year than we've really seen any team, to see what they can do the remainder of the year. And then obviously Washington is everyone's darling. But, you know, I mean, I think Washington State really does have a legitimate chance to go into the Apple Cup undefeated in the conference.
Well, you did miss out on one team in the conference, which is Utah, but they are in the other division. So, yes, I agree, Washington State.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is Washington State doesn't have to play Utah.
Yeah, I'm just curious because we're talking about the North now. I'm like, God, the South, if it's going to be Colorado or Utah coming out of the South, who saw that?
It is.
Coming?
You know, and we really expected the North to be Oregon or Stanford, but both those teams have kind of fallen on some hard times. And so, like I said, we may end up with an Apple Cup in Pullman to decide that division.
It'll be a fun way to watch that play out. But yeah, Washington State, yeah, good luck to you. I want to see it. That will be a fun time. All right, finally to our premier matchup, the only matchup that seems to have any impact on the playoff this week. We've got Texas A&M coming off of a bye week, going on the road to Alabama. So, I mean, we've talked about it all week, especially on the earlier podcast. Bama is just so good. What are you even supposed to do against them? I think I put in the notes, can Bama even lose? Because really, that's all there is to say about this matchup. I'll go ahead and say, to just avoid all of our additional talking, Nigel just went ahead and picked Alabama. I think there's obvious reasons for that. Andrew, who do you have?
You know, it's interesting. Both teams are coming off playing Tennessee. They played Tennessee and then had a bye week, and obviously Alabama played Tennessee last week. A&M beat Tennessee in College Station 45-38 in double overtime. Alabama went on the road to Neyland Stadium in Knoxville and beat Tennessee 49-10. If you really need anything else to understand that Alabama is going to win this game, I'm not sure if they cover the 20-point spread, because that's a huge spread and it's hard to cover. But, I mean, I would be utterly dumbfounded if Alabama found a way to lose this game. I mean, if they turn the ball over a lot, I could see it. But statistically, they have an advantage severely on defense. I mean, they're giving up almost 200 less yards on defense, which is really going to help them. They're giving up less than 75 yards on the ground. I mean, I think Alabama wins it. I'm not sure it's even really much of a contest, but covering a 20-point spread might be tough. But I mean, as I said, I think Alabama wins it fairly going away, and I think we probably see another non-offensive touchdown from the Alabama defense or the Alabama special teams. You know, Edwin Jackson's put together a great year on defense and as a kick returner for Alabama, and no one's really talking about him.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get any bonus points for predicting the defensive touchdown, because that, what they've, how many games have they played now? They're averaging at least one a game at this point.
Straight games with a non-offensive touchdown.
Oh, okay. They just had a lot of non-offensive touchdowns in those games. Fair enough. All right. So this is going to sound really stupid. I'm going to take Texas A&M. I'm allowed to have one really dumb pick every year where I pick against Bama. There isn't a ton of logic behind this pick. I guess I would just say that of the games that Bama has left to play this year, in season anyway, Texas A&M is by far the most likely that they would lose, because they have the qualifications that are required for Bama to lose a matchup. They don't have a great defense. They've got a decent one, but they do have a very talented scrambling quarterback who has beat them before in Trevor Knight. Bama, oddly enough, especially coming off of rivalry games, does tend to struggle at home of all places. So I think if they are going to lose a game, it'll be this game. I'm not going to put a lot of logic into this. I'm just going to throw it out there that I'm going to pick for them to lose this game. Hell, I don't even think they're going to lose this game. I'm just picking it because I feel like if they are going to lose a game, this is going to be the one in the regular season. They might run into a team sometime in the postseason, in the playoff, that causes them trouble. But until then, this is going to be the one team they face that might actually beat them. So I'm going to go ahead and pick Texas A&M. I'm not even confident that they will win. I just am going to pick it for the sake of picking it. And, Tommy, if you're listening, I'm going to say you pick Texas A&M as well, too, because your record is way too good right now, so you're going to have to learn to live with that. All right. Anyway, that wraps up everything. Andrew, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No. I might take Alabama over the Cleveland Browns.
So you got a lot of confidence in me and my Texas A&M pick. Is that what you're saying? Huh.
You know, I mean, you kind of said it best, where you have the one game a year where you get to be a little crazy.
I mean, I picked Michigan State last year. I'm hoping that Texas A&M can at least make it a little closer than that one, because that one just made me feel bad on the inside. Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I didn't pick them again. I didn't pick Ole Miss against Bama. I'm gonna pick Texas A&M, though. We'll see how it turns out. All right. Anyway, thanks as always for listening. We hope you have a good rest of your week. Be sure to check us out at our website at toemeetsleather.net. And until we talk to you next week, have a good rest of your day. Bye-bye.